putting the mental in fundamental. It's the Drew Marshall Show on Joy 1250.
In the merry month of June, from me home I started, left the girls at June, nearly broken hearted, salute to father dear, kiss me darling mother, drank a pint of beer, me grief and tears to smother, then off to reap the corn, leave where I was like born, it. Cut to step
apart, the banished ghosts and goblins. You know the difference between Scottish and Irish, right?
What is that?
Scottish. Hello, my name's Drew Marshall. Irish? Oh, diddly-dee, I'm Irish. Potato. Folks, you're listening to remember Danny Boy? He's a guy, a comedian that does that. I didn't come up with that.
We have some Irish friends who aren't going to be happy with that.
Oh, but I like them.
I know.
And they won't like me anymore.
Oh,
that's
you are
right.
Irish of descent, so you're kind of allowed to make fun of yourself.
Thank you.
Self-deprecation.
Right. Thank you. You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, sponsored by Guinness. And it's time for the pub crawl, and it's a pleasure to welcome back into the studio Lara Dewar, one of the hardest radio names ever. Chief Marketing and Development Officer at World Vision Canada. Can I say that when you walked in with the bottles of water with the orange lid, I thought there might have been a little World Vision thing happening.
That is a World Vision thing happening.
And then I started drinking, and I thought, it's going to be one of those trick things where they go, you know, that water you're drinking was formerly
Flint,
sewage.
Michigan.
That's right. For a $10 donation, I'll get you a clean bottle.
and the vaccination or the cure?
That's
or
right.
Whatever, yeah.
That's right. Nice to be here.
This
Thanks
is
for
actually,
having me.
Can I just go on about the bottled water for a second? Do you guys sell this stuff?
So we don't. Those were created for a promotion because we are in market right now with a campaign about well water and providing clean water to the 663 million people who don't have it. Mm-hmm. And so we created those because we created a fictitious product called Well Water that we make some pretty bold claims about. It makes you stronger, makes you smarter, makes you more productive.
Whoa, this stuff does?
Yeah.
Sounds like a Kanye West song.
Right? Totally.
Yeah, says the guy who walks into a sign, yes.
But those claims are true when you think about the people
Absolutely.
Who don't have it. If we could get it to them, the difference that it would make in their lives. And World Vision is the largest NGO provider of clean water in the world. We provide clean water to a new person every 30 seconds. And our goal is to provide a cup of clean water to a new person every 10 seconds by 2020. So this is all about creating some awareness of the issue, so you're welcome
cool.
for the bottle of well water.
I'm sorry, what's your job at World Vision again?
I'm sorry. Was that too much? Too
no.
soon?
No. Just enough.
I just want to get to the point that this is actually good water.
It's not bad, right?
No, it's actually good water.
Yeah, we have a really great agency that we've worked with on the design, and that is really actually clean water. That's not from
it's
a
not
well.
A trick.
We're not allowed to do that.
No. We always like having you here because, you're a woman.
Yes,
and,
I am.
And you fulfill our minority quotient that we have to...
All over the place. That's what I'm doing in this realm, man. In the faith-based community.
Oh, boy.
I'm the token. Thanks.
Just kidding. No, we like having you here because you actually make sense, and you look good and smell good, and you make sense. Yeah.
Thanks.
That should
it's
be
a great
your,
combination.
Your.
I'm going to put that in my LinkedIn
yes.
profile.
Speaking of looking good and smelling good, Gary Chapman on the phone with us. He is a Grammy-nominated recording artist. Gary has racked up an impressive list of Dove Awards, Grammy nominations, and Amway credits. He has written for such artists as Kenny Rogers, Alabama, T.G. Shepherd, Winona, who taught me to say when women's hair are all puffed up with hairspray, it's called your hair's jacked to Jesus. She also taught me the shake and howdy is what I'm, the shake and howdy. You ever heard of that, Tim?
You've mentioned it a
the
few
shake
times.
And howdy,
like
that's right. And that's what I'm going to do tonight up at Casino Rama with
yes.
Suzanne Summers. Gonna have a little shake and howdy with her. Anyway, Gary Chapman and his beautiful wife Cassie recently starred in the new TNT series Private Lives of Nashville Wives, and we just got a little tweet from Cassie. She's a bit of a creeper on the Drew Marshall
nice.
Show. Yeah. Let's see if Gary's on the Gary, are you there? Are you there, Gary? Hello?
I am there. Actually, I am here. I wish I was there because I'm thirsty.
Gary, I'm Lara. It's nice to meet you.
Great to meet you. And you know what? I think if you'll go back to your Irish intro there, her
yep.
name will become surprisingly easy to pronounce. If it's Lara Dewar.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Well done. Just need to drink.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Just need to drink more before I pronounce it. Listen.
Also, I noticed that you when you were introducing, you said that she spells good and something else, and she makes sense. And you gave me two.
Oh no, I didn't say.
Three.
Oh,
you
nuts!
Shockingly left off.
Makes sense. Oh, I knew this wasn't going to go well. Listen, did you go to that little Americana thing you were going to do today?
Oh no, we postponed it. We're doing it tomorrow.
Okay, all right.
And it's not really Americana as much as a tribute to the people who were over on that other big piece of land across the ocean. It's a Renaissance fair. It's, you know, a lot of people in armor and such. Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. All right.
It's totally ridiculous, but so much fun because it brings out the weird people. It is just nerd land. It's so much fun.
So
just go and take pictures.
So is NRB. Have you ever been to the National Religious Broadcasters Convention?
It's exactly the same people, just without armor.
And most political conventions, let's face it.
Yes, true story. Absolutely. All right. Well, listen, since we got a redneck on the phone, let's get right to the Confederate flag issue. Should a Confederate flag have been removed from a history classroom after a parent complained? So here's the backstory for our listeners. A Toronto school removed a Confederate flag from a history classroom after a parent, Rhoda Clark, a lovely black woman, I saw her interviewed. She complained saying, "I felt despair that this flag was in that classroom, my son's classroom." She told City News, I'm quoting from them, "It's promoting hatred, it's promoting racism, it's promoting violence against a certain particular group, which is blacks. The flag, though, has been part of a display in this classroom for years. The board says this, it's part of the display in the U.S. Civil War, which also includes an American flag, a National Geographic map on the battles of the Civil War, and other historical information." So did the school board make the right decision, the right move, in taking down the flag, or is this just another case of giving power to the politically correct folks and scenario and society that we live in? Let's start with Gary Chapman. How many guns do you have, Gary?
On me?
Yeah. What do you think about this? What do you think about us Canadians taking down the Confederate flag?
Well, you know, I mean, you can do what you want. It's your country. But I do have to say, with all due respect to the fabulous mom who raised the stink, she's raising a wimp. You can't get all the obstacles out of the way, or your kid is not going to know how to get over or around the obstacle. Hmm. You can't do it. It's just silly. The flag, the Confederate flag itself, good grief, I actually don't care. My wife and I, this is so funny, in a Walmart, granted, that's redneck heaven.
I was going to say.
In a Walmart, not 10 miles from our house. Last year, we just thought it was so interesting. We watched a couple of fine young black gentlemen putting a Confederate flag decal that covered their entire back window of their pickup truck. They were in the parking lot. They'd obviously just purchased it and were putting it in their truck. Yep. Now explain to me what she should do with them.
Well,
it's a choice.
But did not, where was it? It was South Carolina or something? Where was the place where they had the flag lowering ceremony, never to put it up again because there was a big protest and stink and whatever else? Huh?
Yeah, it was one of those states.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's silly. I've actually never been hurt by a piece of cloth, and I don't expect to until somebody wraps it around my neck and swings it over a tree branch.
But Gary, that's because you're a white middle class American man of privilege, and you've never had any picking on. No one's ever picked on you for nothing.
Whose 23-year-old daughter is dating a fabulous black gentleman who would agree with me 100%.
Well, that kind of shut me up a little bit there. Okay, so the default to the rest of this argument then, Laura, is, okay, American flag, okay, we're okay with that. A Confederate flag, no, that needs to come down. So then I'm assuming that it's in a history class, we should have no Nazi flags as well, right? Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, we always like to take things to the extremes in these kind of conversations.
Well, hey, I got to say, if we're going to go to extremes,
yeah,
good grief. The Canadian flag is so offensive.
Oh.
I have been hurt by pieces of maple wood much more than I've been hurt by anything else. And that ties you back to the spanking question that we'll get into eventually.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
But you probably love maple syrup, so you're going to have to stick with it.
Right.
That's right.
There we go.
Yeah, see,
all right. So
there you go. There's the give and take.
So, Laura, flag up or flag down?
I think what's important about this to remember is that this is an educational context. And if we don't have great dialogue by learning from history, how do we ensure the things that have happened in the past that are not so great don't repeat themselves? how to create, how do we make sure that dialogue continues moving forward? So I think in this context, the flag was right. With all due respect to Ms. Clark, I appreciate her point of view. But I think, again, in that educational context, this is important. I want my kids to know about these things so that we learn from them, that we push the dialogue, that we are made aware of not just the mistakes of the past, but frankly, the great things that we've done, so we might also be inspired going forward.
But someone would say, okay, fine, then have a book with the Confederate flag in it. Why do you have to have it on the wall? By having it on the wall, by having it raised, gives it a little too much power and position influence in this classroom, right? I've heard that pushback. Can we not just look at it in book? Yeah, there it is.
I think we've got to use all kinds of ways to get to kids' imaginations and to teach them things. And right. There would be all kinds of things on the wall of a classroom that any one person might be able to begin to pick apart, right?
Right.
And so, I just think we have to be careful about who's policing that system. Hmm. And, I don't personally as a parent have a problem with the context here in this story.
Okay, I want to bring Tim in because he's a public high school teacher.
Yes.
And you're also a bit of a tree hug.
I think maybe somewhere along the line there's a lazy teacher, whose room has had the flag up for how many years?
Yeah.
You know, I understand in context. You know, when I'm teaching World War II, you know, yeah, I'll bring in the Nazi flag. I'll bring
so
in
your
the
issues
flag.
With the fact that there's a lazy teacher that's had the flag up too long?
I think the problem is if the concern is with the Confederate flag, in a context of we are going to be studying the Civil War for the next month,
right.
This is up for now.
Sure.
I'm going to take it down, and I think that would help take some of it away. I think subconsciously or whatever, if it's up there all the time, people might think that it's got a place of honor. But in context of we're going to study it this week, we're going to study it for the next month, that to me makes more sense.
Okay. I agree with that.
All right. Final word.
Here's another yep. compromise. Another
yes.
compromise.
Yep.
May be the answer. Hang it upside down.
Well, it'd be like the World Series.
Yeah, like the way you guys hang our flag when you don't even get our anthem right and all that
thank
kind of stuff. Oh,
thank
my
you.
Goodness.
Exactly.
We're not harboring any resentment, are we?
No, not at all. Go Raptors.
Let's completely ignore the fact that it's exactly the same, whether it's right side up or upside down.
That was the point.
There we go.
You guys.
Like the English flag.
Oh, no, I didn't even get that.
You did
it? Missed that.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought.
Went right over Gary Chapman. Just smoked my backside in that one.
Me too.
Jeez.
Laura, you and I need to do a radio show.
We totally do.
I think we're going to have to add that making sense thing to Gary's resume.
That's right.
Cassie, who's tweeting online, I just got to say to your wife, Cassie, who's listening, Cassie, I had no idea he was that sharp. Like, I just thought he was, you know, a songwriter.
Just another pretty
just
face.
Just another pretty face. All right, let's move on to topic number two. And this one has got a lot of people riled up. And as a matter of fact, I did a little background research in this, and it's still such a touchy subject, so to speak, that when I actually called the attorneys on both sides of this case, and neither of them really wanted to talk about it. I also called the RCMP about whether spanking is actually illegal at this point in time because, well, hold on, let me set this up. A Canadian couple has been convicted of assault for spanking their 14-year-old daughter with a mini hockey stick and a skipping rope after they found out she had sent nude photos of herself to her boyfriend. That's part A of the story. So much to talk about right there, but let me jump to part B and then we'll kind of rip this up and we'll get Laura to kind of jump in first. The Liberal government here in Canada, Mr. Trudeau, or as the cool kids call him, Justin, is considering removing Section 43 of the Criminal Code of Canada, which says this, and Tim, he kind of tweaked on this when I read this earlier. He didn't know this.
Made me smile.
Every school teacher, parent, or person standing in the place of a parent is justified in using force by way of correction toward a pupil or child, as the case may be, who is under his care, see, says his, if the force does not exceed what is reasonable under the circumstances. So, a lot of questions. Laura, your first reaction to the main question is, obviously we're talking about spanking, but if the government decides to make spanking illegal, you still have children. I don't know if you spank or you don't spank, but if they, do you spank your kids? Let's start with that.
I do not.
Does someone in your family spank your kids?
No.
So you're of the belief that don't lay a hand on them, you put them in the corner, you tell them to think about it, maybe starve them for a couple of days, but don't spank them.
Yeah, starvation for sure.
That's why you work for World Vision,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
No, that was a joke. That was totally a joke.
But they have lots of water.
I actually, I joined World Vision because I share their values around ensuring that we care for the dignity of children. And that, I think, includes ensuring that we don't have them in situations where we would use physical force to teach them lessons.
Right.
I grew up in a house where I don't remember it being used very often, but I certainly remember knowing that my mother would have spanked us if she needed to. So I come out of that generationally, but for me and for my family, that doesn't work. That's not consistent with our current beliefs, and even corporately, we really do believe that you respect the dignity of a child. And when you even when you read that law, that's problematic, the wording.
Right. Okay. Now, different cultures, different flavors, different tastes, different backgrounds. I'm imagining that there's a lot more butt whooping down in the South. Gary?
You would be correct. That's exactly right. Yes.
So,
but she raises a good point. I completely agree with her on the dignity side of it. That's why you would never, ever do it in anger.
Right.
You would never do it to retaliate, to get even. But if you do it in love, which my father and mother both did, and which I have done with my 3 old kids, and I'm currently doing with my 3-year-old. If you do it in love and you do it to where they understand what is happening, first of all, you don't have to do it very much. You just don't. If you do it right, you don't have to do it much. And when you say that you spank your kids, that brings this picture to mind that, well, line up, kids. It's a day that ends in Y, so it's time to get your butt whipped. It's not like that. It's just not. And, you know, I'm the spare the rod, spoil the child guy. Yes, I am.
I agree with Gary's comments, too, on anger. I think too often in situations, even where people believe in spanking, it comes at the end of anger, which means that we're very often not in control of the use of force. It's kind of in a passionate yep. moment, and I think that's very dangerous.
So are you saying that because we can't really trust society to spank properly, if there is such a thing as that, then we should make it illegal?
And by society, I'm assuming that you mean according to the way that law is currently written, that right now gives provision
right.
to my children's teachers to decide what use of force looks like.
Mm-hmm. Preach,
and
girl,
I have
preach.
A problem with that.
Right.
I love my kids in a way that their teachers don't, although they have excellent teachers. I am not going to hand over the rights to others who operate, I think the language in the bill is in a parental kind of way,
yes. mm-hmm.
or adult supervision.
Yeah.
I am not willing to sign away those rights. I'm
right,
sorry.
Right. So I think most people would say, oh, I'm not sure whether teachers should be able to punish the children physically. Parents, maybe under the right circumstances, should. You know, I think in this conversation, context is really, really
yes.
important. You know, if you have an actual loving parent-child relationship, where there's instruction and I think this is what you're saying, where there's instruction and training and talking and communication. I mean, it just got to a point in my world when I was raising my kids, when I was raising my kids.
You mean happened. Your wife?
Yeah,
but,
there
yeah.
you go. Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
That it was a pain in the butt. Get it?
Literally.
To spank
yeah.
because yeah. it took so stinking long. There was a, let's sit down, all right, let's talk. Now, what do you think, and how did you know, and okay, now you know what the consequences are, and then okay, and so you're right. And you know, they would cry before the spanking even happened because they knew it was coming, and it was like, please shut up and just spank me already, you know.
Get it over with.
Yeah.
And in this case, we're talking about a situation where it went beyond, I think, Gary, my own judgment on this is it went beyond that moment of love where we're correcting. It goes
when
into
you start bringing
excessive,
in implements. That's
yeah,
a problem.
That's assault.
Yes,
it's right? just a hockey stick.
Just
sake.
A hockey stick. That's not the way us Canadians
yeah,
use
yeah,
hockey
sorry,
sticks.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So here's the deal: when it comes to a 14-year-old being spanked. I don't know. I think that's a little goofy. That's too old. If you can't reason with a 14-year-old, well, you can't. Hold on. Let me back that up again.
Yeah,
reasoning with a reasoning with a 14-year-old is a pretty tough thing to do. However, the answer is not whacking them, I don't think, with a rope or whatever. And I specifically remember, and this is burned in so bad, I hate admitting this. My daughter reached a certain age. I think she might have been 12 or 10. I don't know. I can't even remember. But I do remember her, while I smacked her in the bum one time, her kind of looking at me going, really?
Yeah, are you serious?
Yeah, and she said, whatever she said, it made me wake up at that moment and go, dude, you're just lazy parenting right now. Mm. Just lazy parenting.
And by the way, it's challenging to raise teenagers, right? Like every stage has its own challenges.
Yeah.
I think what's really sad about this particular story is that this girl was in a position where she was caught sending some pictures that her parents were unhappy with her texting, right? And there's a bigger, broader issue that you even referenced as you read the story, Drew, which is, I wonder to myself, what's going through a young girl's head at that age where they are sending pictures of this nature mm-hmm. to someone at the other end of that text who they in that moment trust, but you and I both know they're not staying private.
Right.
This is a much bigger issue. You know, this is a girl who's going through that stage of life when we feel our most insecure, when we're trying to figure out who we are. Mm-hmm. And then our response to it is to physically to deal with that. I think, again, back to dignity. I think the dignified thing here would be to go back to the root of what created a situation where she felt she should or could do that.
Hold on. I just want to get Gary on this. Gary, if your daughter, you ever found out your daughter sent nudie pics to somebody, seriously, how would you react? What could you do? How would you try to correct them? Discipline them?
Immediately, she would not have a phone until she was 18, and I would probably go to her boyfriend's house and take his phone from him as well, because he somehow generated the need for that. I think it's a much bigger issue. I don't think spanking would have been the right thing in that situation, mm-hmm. but. That's a tough one. At 14, she's right. That's just such a pivotal, difficult spot. My inclination would be to just ground her ad nauseum, but I don't know if it would do any good. I mean, you got a kid whose self-esteem issues are probably off the chart to be in that setting. And it's a dicey spot. That's a tough one.
Well,
I'd love to have a clever, perfect answer. I don't.
Well, you're on the right show then. According to a 2014 UNICEF report, as many as 80% of parents across the world admit to spanking their children. And yet there are, I think, 40 countries at this point in time that have it as illegal. 40 countries that have it as illegal. I don't know. It is one of the most. As a matter of fact, this was the first talkback subject I had on my show 13 years ago, and the phone lines just went crazy on this because you get people saying, "Well, I can see them using a hockey stick or a jump rope because it says spoiler alert. You're supposed to use an inanimate object, so you disassociate." And James Dobson said, "And back in the day, and anyway."
You had to go reference Mr. Dobson.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
Go there.
And listen, to your point earlier with Mr. Corin, we're all journeying, right? The idea, hopefully, is that with every generation we get a little smarter and we evolve our thinking on these things. But I come back to the dignity of the child. As World Vision, we deal with a lot of this all over the world, where we're advocating for things, forms of abuse much more significant than the one we're talking about here.
Right.
But it's still important to explore as parents other options, I think.
Hey, listen, Gary, is there anything you want to sell before we say goodbye to you? You got something you're selling keychains or frisbees or CDs or?
Yeah, I've got some jams and jellies and beaded moccasins.
you've been hanging around with Stephen Curtis Chapman too much in the whole what's that organization, the Knott's Berry Farm scenario, right? Jeez.
Oh yeah. No, you can go over to the Ham a Week Facebook page and my Facebook page and get friendly, and you'll find out where I'm playing, and I'm sure there will be something there for you to buy from time to time.
I love it.
But beyond that, no.
Not. See, this is why I like Gary Chapman, man. He just says it like it is, and he's kind of a straight shooting deal.
I'd love to talk to you about our Artist Collective program
goodness.
Gary.
You see, she just can't stop the
Let's
World
do.
Vision thing.
Let's do.
Yeah, we have some cool plans for that, and so I'm connecting dots here today. Thanks, Drew.
All right.
You don't validate parking, so this has made it worth it.
Gary?
Drew, make sure she has my info.
Right. Thanks, Gary.
Despite the fact that clearly she's a communist, I would love to work with her.
Gary Chapman, ladies and gentlemen. Dude, so good to have you on the show again, man. Take care, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye-bye.
I'll be asking for forgiveness then, till the day I...